Welcome to San Diego Magazine's Happy Half Hour, part two of our holiday special.
Prosecco going around the table. Oh, you guys polished off the bottle.
We're having cheese. The gang's all here. We have no guests. It's just sort of an in-house show.
We've got David on the mic.
David has a whole microphone over there. Marie refuses to get on the mic. I know you guys all want to hear from her, but she won't do it.
She disappeared.
she ran away. We have a great show, though, you guys. We're going to talk about sort of year-end stuff. What we did this last year, if you're a longtime listener, you remember that we looked back at the predictions that all the national sort of food pundits said were going to happen in 2019, and we're going to discuss whether those things happened or not, especially locally here in our city. And then we're going to give you our own predictions, as well as some tips on holiday places that you should eat and drink this holiday season around San Diego. And then, of course, we're going to look back and tell you the most popular podcast episodes this year. So if you haven't listened to every single episode and maybe you're traveling over the holidays, these would be a few good ones to write down and maybe download for your trips and your travels.
And start thinking about, as you're listening at home, like, what was the biggest trend for you in 2019? The biggest prediction that we have for 2019 and what you have at home and what you want to see more of. Like, what you would ideally want to see in San Diego's food scene. So we'll get to that near the end.
Cool. Okay, let's start with our biggest national food predictions. Okay, these are the ones that I just had said. Marie, who did these? Like, this is national people, right? Like, this was in the national media that predicted in 2018?
Some came from Eater, most of them the New York Times.
Eater, the New York Times, places like that. These were their predictions that they predicted in 2018 that were going to happen in 2019. The first one, several media outlets in 2018 said that cannabis and CBD-infused everything was going to be big this year. What do we think? Did that happen here?
I think
100%.
Absolutely. Well, I think that Lauren is cannabis-infused every time she shows up for the show, but...
Is it my calm and chill demeanor that gives it away?
That was actually the calmest I've ever heard you. And that's total slander. It's not true. Absolutely did happen. I mean, and it's going to continue happening. We've seen some of the best pastry chefs go off and start their own gourmet snack companies. So we had Rachel King in as a podcast guest. It's just growing and growing and growing. Although, you know, California is struggling with the CBD and marijuana. I mean, they're talking about, like, you know,
I don't know if I really see it everywhere in San Diego. I mean, I don't see it on a lot of restaurants.
There have been a bunch more pop-up dinners with CBD and cannabis infused tastings and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's still going to take a while for restaurants to really embrace it and do that sort of thing, you know, like actually serve it to the general public. But I mean, it's more and more and more sneaking in across the nation where you have, like, you know, marijuana-based bistros and cafes and that sort of thing.
And even just, like, you know, goods like a CBD.
Lots more of that stuff.
Yeah, seltzer, CBD little goodies, kind of everything with good branding now, so it's pretty exciting.
I just don't feel like I see it everywhere, like, in terms of it was gonna be everywhere. It's like, I don't know, it's in a few random places if you go look for it.
You think
it's everywhere,
but it went from being nowhere to being somewhere, so that kind of feels like everywhere.
Next year it's gonna be OxyContin souffles.
Hot takes.
Do you know what the number one problem that everyone, all these dispensaries are having is?
Where to store their money.
Cash
exactly.
Flow.
And it's because they are not allowed to put their money into the banks because they're federally owned banks, and that would be putting weed money into that. So basically what's happening is all these people who own them, they're getting robbed. Because they're bringing money to their house or their dispensary is getting broken into.
Like bags of money, like inside man style. Yeah.
And if you guys are, you know, at home, you can Google my cover story that I did for San Diego Mag when it was first recreationalized. And I talked to like 15 different people, and that was one of the biggest concerns that they had. I mean, the
safety.
Urban Leaf, because they're not, the state of California legalized it, but the government backs the banks, FDIC, the first F in there is federal. Right? So they're not letting them use banks, and which is crazy. You have so much money that these, you know, dispensaries are making, and like Urban Leaf had to buy an old Wells Fargo vault, you know, and all their drivers are driving around with like cash. I don't want to advertise that too much, to be quite honest with you.
But they're also armed. So.
They're also armed. Yeah. I mean, they're driving around with cash.
Makes me more nervous.
So it makes it really a dangerous thing. Like, California needs to figure that out. If you're going to legalize it, then legalize a way for them to participate in the economy. You know, I mean, illegally store the money.
Did I get that stat from you? I can't remember.
Oh, maybe. Hopefully. Hopefully
like,
you read
like
that.
I'm reading your articles. Like, that's probably where it came from.
I mean, it's absolutely nuts.
Okay, another big prediction was plant-based eating. On the edit side at San Diego Magazine, we'd have to agree. We being Marie and Troy and everybody here that works on food stuff, since we're devoting the whole January 2020 issue to healthy eating, I have the cover right
cover
here.
Cover right there.
Before it's even printed, it's just a, what is this called? A
bowl
proof,
of greenery.
A piece of paper.
It's a piece of paper.
A proof?
It's a proof.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's what we call it, right?
Yeah. Oh my God, Aaron Chambers Smith, who has a very long and like prodigious, you know, track record in this industry. Now you've been on the like overview side for so long, you forgot what a proof is.
I'm like, what is this called again?
But yeah, no, definitely vegetables are cool and sexy.
Beautiful,
and
cover worthy
on fire
on the cover
this
of magazines.
Yeah, definitely pick this issue up because I think you guys, A, I know you guys do a good job on it, but I mean, I'm always looking for places that are healthy eating because, you know, it's easy to find some place that does good fries, that does good donuts, that does good short ribs, that's good, you know, like, that's fine.
I feel like you
fine.
Pointed pasta. To me on all three of those things.
It's because I'm so proud of you.
My dietary staples, is that what you're saying?
Right, yeah. It's kind of your
but
food
you're
pyramid.
Right, though, there are tons of plant-based, and even just at not plant-based restaurants, like, I mean, there's at least two or three or four or five options, a whole section.
You look
now.
At Jean-Georges in New York, and he's got his own plant-based restaurant, ABCB. You know, you've got in San Diego, we have the first fast food vegetarian or restaurant in Plant Power. You know, I mean, when I went to the French Laundry, I'll tell you this. I mean, it used to be something that serious chefs didn't take seriously, you know, but now they have a meat tasting, I mean, or carnivore, omnivore tasting, and they have a plant-based tasting. And that plant-based tasting at French Laundry was better than the meat tasting. It was so absolutely crazy. Better because, you know, you have to spend so much more time and thought and innovation because it can't just like rest on that meat, you know, because meat tastes great in itself and you're taught as a chef, just leave it alone. It's great, you know.
I do think it's interesting in San Diego, at least, that as this is all on the rise and you can't look anywhere without seeing vegan, plant-based, vegetarian, mm-hmm. but like a lot of steakhouses too, right? Like at mm-hmm. the same year, I feel like there was a lot of steaks
yep.
at the same time.
It's well, anytime some trend like this rises, the opposite reaction happens too, because you have a lot of resentment towards the plant-based movement. You know, like people are like, "Oh, I damn it, like my steaks, you know, these damn leaf eaters."
You know, I don't see those people.
Are you kidding me?
But do you
I have
think
so
that's
many
why
people
that
are like,
are
"Oh, vegetarian or vegan, go bite one." You know what I mean? I mean,
really?
Oh, so
I
many
feel like
people.
Everyone's so zen and happy about the plant
no.
stuff here.
No. Plant shit's stupid.
There was quite a few steakhouses, balance. Though, right? A lot of steaks.
Good you know,
a lot more steaks.
Yeah, lot more steakhouses coming out. Yeah, and we're going to get that standing steakhouse down where Cafe Chloe was. Are we still going to get that? Do we
I
know?
I thought that was fried chicken or Cafe Chloe.
No, it's
was.
Fried chicken from Tajima.
Okay. Gotcha. Somebody was going to open up one of those standing steakhouses that they have in Japan, too, and I forget where it was. Anyways, I'm not following food news anymore, so I don't really know. Somebody tell me.
I'm putting a blog called Food News.
That's why we're not going to call it anymore. Remember that conversation that you and I, we used to chase food news, and it was like openings. I had to do liquor licenses and everything
and
else.
And I told you to free yourself.
Free yourself.
10 years ago, I said, Troy, free yourself.
Free yourself.
That.
Write about bigger stuff, man. I was like, oh, God, thank you.
Free your mind.
Yeah.
Okay, another one, hard seltzers like White Claw. We talked about this last week. Predicted it seemed like it was everywhere this summer. I think it was everywhere.
It was everywhere. Not even this
don't
summer.
We think?
100% fall, everywhere.
Winter, uh-huh. Everywhere.
And I don't hate it. I've had some of those that are delicious.
Really,
I like my heavy, like full-bodied wines. I love my full-bodied beers. I love my full-bodied cocktails. You know, but sometimes when it's hot out, I've had a White Claw and I'm like, it's malt liquor. It's not even good alcohol. It's just this shitty form of alcohol that was used in wine coolers way back in the day, you know, and I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah, I'm pretty into my like Aperol spritz in a can.
You
so
know,
I'm okay with this.
You
life.
Know, it's accepted by everyone too when you can go to the Casbah and order a White Claw.
Can you
San
really?
Diego's
I believe
Punk
so.
Club.
Interesting.
Yep.
Okay, two more quick ones from the New York Times. The New York Times predicted last year that cheese tea would be big in 2019. I don't even know what that is.
We haven't. I don't know if we actually have it in San Diego yet. You're basically making a cheese foam on top of your tea. But I don't.
No, I don't want that. That's not so good.
But then again, I remember the first time that somebody told me that they were. It was at 9:10. I was doing my first fancy tasting when I first became a food writer. And you know, my life consisted of carne asada burritos 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing this one, and they're like, "Hey, would you like the cheese course for dessert?" And I'm like, "You guys are assholes. I want a real dessert. I want a big cake. I want American dessert that I feel like diabetes. Like instant." instantaneously.
Uh-huh. Sugar.
You know, sugar. Give me sugar. And they gave me a cheese tasting, and I was like, oh, this is the best dessert in the world. The French have it right. You know, so I mean, you never know.
You never know. But I think cheesecake. I think I draw the line on a cheese foam on my latte.
A cheesecake.
I think it's more on cheesecake tea. Bomb. Yeah. If you guys know of cheese tea in San Diego that we have overlooked, please tell us. Yeah, I'll read off our phone number and our email here in a little bit. The last one from the New York Times and the last one of our... predictions from last year.
I love
year.
This one. Mushrooms will be big. I'm like, I think they've been big for centuries.
I don't know. They must have said that. Mushrooms are back. Did anyone
you know what that is?
See an influx and here, of mushrooms?
Here's a little bit. Is it more interesting is the behind the scenes of media that you guys realize that we have, at the end of the year, we all have to do these best of or like predictions or what we're doing right now.
I know.
You know, and it makes sense because we're following the trends and we study this kind of stuff.
And we're tired.
And we're tired. And we want to go to our holiday party. We want to go buy a Christmas gift for my daughter. You know, then we're like what's going to be big? And you're like, I don't fucking know. Mushrooms.
Pick a veg.
So someone at the New York Times last year said mushrooms are going to be big. I could just picture this poor editorial person. It's just like man, I don't, like lettuce, dude.
Like my train is coming. I got to go.
I think bread is going to be big.
Okay, but the same mushroom person also said that Celtis would be big. Celery lettuce hybrid. Now Troy's got me giggly, and I can't finish the show.
How do you think that looks, a celery lettuce hybrid? Is it wide like lettuce, or is it lettuce that tastes like celery, or celery that tastes like lettuce?
I bet it's like celery that has really large lettuce leaves on
at the top.
It's like the Dumbo of celery.
Well, I don't think it happened in San Diego. So.
I can't. I'm dead. Someone else has to do the show. I can't.
You know, it's true. That's why, man. You know,
that was a little too close. Okay.
I've totally done that. They're like, Troy, do a trend story. And I'm like, flooring's going to be big this year.
God. I literally can't anyone? Do the show anymore. Someone else has to do it.
All right, well, let's go through and talk about what everyone had for their big predictions. What is going to be your big predictions? Lauren, let's start with you. What do you think was the biggest trend that defined dining scene in 2019?
We should just pause. We just need to take a break.
This is podcast pandemonium.
I'm not even drinking.
I just have the giggles now.
I just really hope that the audience thinks this is as funny as we do.
I'm sorry to everybody out there. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, Erin's literally crying. She's got to pick up her kid in half an hour. She's got to pull it together.
I got to get out of here. Right. I got to get out of here. Okay. Oh, my God. I just have the giggles now. It's not going to go away this
time. No,
oh, my gosh.
All right. So the biggest trend.
All right.
Lauren, what did you think?
One of the biggest things I saw was a little bit of some gimmicky hospitality projects coming into town. Margaritaville, Topgolf, Tommy Bahama. Everything I don't want here has arrived, and that's annoying and a trend I hope does not continue into 2020.
And I think the reason why you're seeing that is that restaurant industry, because, and again, I will stop saying this, but because the minimum wage is getting harder and harder to bear for a lot of people on the front of the house and they're not including tips, it's getting harder for independent restaurateurs. And we said this in the beginning when this was happening, you're going to see a lot of chains come in. You're going to see a lot of chains going to be replacing our favorite spots. And I think that's what's happening. We're seeing the chainification of San Diego again, based on, I do. I mean, it doesn't mean that we're slowing down on the independent stuff, too.
Big and there's more room.
You know what? I love that too. I think probably both things are at play. You know, but I mean, I do think that a lot of the chains, I mean, you get a lot of bids out for bigger properties and that sort of thing, and the local people are like, I can't handle that. No way.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be a NIMBY about it, so they can go somewhere else.
I like that. I like it. Yeah.
What about you, Troy? What did you see around town?
Any big trends?
I mean, the biggest thing for me, I mean, we've actually already talked about. I mean, I should have thought
mushrooms.
We were back on track.
We were just a little too quiet. Then it was like this become a library podcast really quick.
They were everywhere. Cremini's, oysters. Shiitake. Oh, man. I mean, mean, really, what we've the ones that I'm talking about, we've already talked about. I mean, plant-based eating was huge this year. Huge. I mean, you can't be a chef this day without having a plant-based eating program. You know, and counter service, the loss of servers. I mean, the servers were just going out. Every single project now has a counter service angle added, or an ordering optimization. Then one of the Cone restaurant groups has that order button that you can call your server over to be more efficient, which actually allows you probably to be more efficient with your staff too, and not staff as many people, that sort of thing. I mean, everybody's trying to figure out how to handle not affording that many servers on the floor. So I saw less and less servers at every single restaurant that I went into. I saw less and less bussers. I saw less. I mean, it was moreover every time I'm like, oh, wow. Oh, wow, there's a button mushroom.
I can't do this.
Oh, my gosh.
I just can't look at you. I have to just look at Marie. I can't do it anymore.
Okay. So in beer, I'd say one of the biggest trends that everyone was saying for 2019 wasn't mushrooms. It was pilsners and lagers. And everyone being like, sessionable, pilsners, lagers, lighter beers, going for the high-class Coors Light of Troy's choice. And we totally saw that with South Norte, with their Senor, which won gold at Great American Beer Festival. Mm-hmm. Epic Brewing, which has just expanded giantly into Mira Mesa, and they are 50% lagers. And then also you have like Original 40 winning awards for like Crispy Boy. So I think we totally saw that happen.
I love this thing about craft beer, because they started with being the opposite of craft. Yes. I mean, of Coors Light.
Of course.
Of Miller Light, of everything else. They were like light, fizzy, yellow, hate it, you know, dark, yeah, abusive.
I don't want to see boom, through boom, it. Boom, boom, boom.
And then they won the market, and they're like, okay, now we'll do light, fizzy, yellow. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and look, you had Stone doing a light, fizzy beer with Metallica.
I know. Like, so tonight.
It definitely hit, and I was very happy. And
I don't hate it. And what should be said, I mean, is that I genuinely do believe this. Is I've had a lot of the lagers from craft beers, and they taste infinitely better than like a Coors Light or a Miller Light or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, of which I still enjoy all varieties. I like my Miller Light. I like my Coors Light. I love my like craft.
We need to stop talking right now, Aaron. What did you see?
I have none trends. No trends. Oh. I'm trended out. I have no predictions.
Aaron's so trendy.
I am barely sitting on this chair. Okay.
We got it.
You got me big time. Okay, I think we should move on, though, because I want to get to our most favorite and most downloaded episodes. I actually think this might be mildly useful to the people listening, in case you haven't listened to all of our episodes and you want to kind of go back and cherry pick a couple
Wait a
of
minute.
Great ones.
Biggest trend for 2020. We got to do that one.
Okay.
Okay.
Go.
Biggest thing, trend that you think you're going to see. Go ahead.
Filipino food is going to get big and huge and mainstream, and craft sake is going to come to town, and it's going to be the new natural line. Done.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And for me, I think that this year, honestly, we're going to see the end of hard surfaces in restaurants. I think that you're going to see, not end of hard surfaces, but you're going to see
more
comfortable chairs. You're going to see restaurant carpet make a comeback. You're going to see plush curtains. You're going to see everything else.
Everybody's
going to see.
How do they clean the carpet?
Everybody's going to see what anime did, because there are restaurants around town that have this kind of quiet atmosphere and have been forgotten about because everything got hip and trendy and steel and concrete and everything else. And now it's so effing loud in there, you know, that you can't have a conversation. I mean, it's not just me being 46. I was just talking to one of our 22-year-old staffers who was like I just had a date the other day and I couldn't even hear her, you know, so I just thought, lucky she was pretty, so we just looked at each other, you know, but I'm like, we couldn't even talk because it was so loud. And I think that it's across all ages. We're tired of like walking to a place and going, Jesus, turn it down.
So, yeah.
You know, so you're going to see a bunch of soft, quiet restaurants.
And in beer, I think we're going to see the decline in the hazy IPAs.
No!
And, yes. And then return of really bringing back that traditional smash style San Diego style IPA. For those that don't know, smash means single malt, single hop. But so,
oh, it stands for something.
Yes, it does. But so, sorry, Nerd. but yeah, so, and then there's more to it other than the hop fact it. That it's just like a juice bomb and it really has no flavor and it doesn't take as much talent to brew that as these other beers. But it's also insanely expensive to produce, and we're going through almost like a hop shortage in the country because so many of these beers have become so popular. Hops are going from like when some hops were like $14, $15 a pound, they're going to be like $25 to $27 a pound. So I think it's also going to just be kind of like keeping the cost down. But also I think people just have to be getting burnt out on this juice bomb.
Okay, those are your predictions.
There you go.
We would like to hear yours as well. Our phone number is 619-744-0535, and our email address is happyhalfhour@sdmagallspelledout.com. Tell us what your predictions are. Tell us what we missed in our wrap-up of this past year. We love hearing from you. We can play your answers on the show, or we can read your emails, or we cannot if you tell us not to.
Should we just call it quits?
I feel like we should tell people the most popular podcast episodes.
Yeah, we're only 20 minutes in.
Damn.
It's over, though. I tell you what, we are done.
And we have to do our holiday stuff. No. Give our holiday. Yes. Sorry, guys.
And after I edit out 15 working. Minutes of laughing, yes. for a 5-minute podcast.
God. We have a laugh track now if you ever need that. We could package that and sell it. Okay, the most downloaded episodes of 2019 by rank. Here we go. Katie Jackson, the vice president from the Padres. She was the special guest in. Should we put the episode numbers in these in case people want to go back and download them?
No, I'd say just search Katie Jackson.
Okay. And then Annie Estrada from The Rose in South Park. Remember that was that whole discussion about natural wine, and it kind of went on and on, but it was very interesting.
She was really educated about it.
Yeah. Yes, we learned all. I feel like we all learned a lot. And then Chris Liang from Realm of 52 Remedies. That was a great show. And then, of course, Michael Mina. That's not a surprise, right? He's a big deal. He was a guest on our show. And then Dan Carrico from Thorn Brewing. That one was...
When was that? Was that at the Ronald McDonald House?
I think it was. Mm-hmm. That was a great story, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's okay. Then now I want to counter that with which ones would do you wish that were on the top five? I know which one
now,
mine is.
Are we going to all say the exact same answer on this one?
I think so.
I think you don't think so.
Oh, Steve.
One, two, three at the same time. Steve.
Steve.
Yeah. I mean, unbelievable.
If you want to listen to any story that we did all year, I mean, any interview, you have to listen to Steve.
Steve Yang from Obi Noodle House and
Screwball. Yeah, his story about being a refugee family, making it over the United States, living in a garage, first living in a car, then living in a garage, being sponsored by a postman, his grandparents, losing his grandparents in a refugee camp on the way over here, to opening up a little noodle bar, to opening up a second noodle bar, and now having his alcohol in 47 states and getting adopted by Walmart and Target is the American dream. One of the best stories that I've heard personally in a long time, which I still, now that I'm done my honeymoon, I'm going to go sit down with him and write this thing out. Of course, I'm going to have to do it over 19 blog posts. Otherwise, I'm going to have to take 40 hours to do one blog post because it's going to be a long story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did anyone else have a different one other than that was their favorite?
I really liked Fernando of Baja Wine and Food. I thought that was a really fun conversation about the future of Valle de Guadalupe, how they're developing, how they should develop. I thought that was a fun conversation.
She's just trying to get free trips to the Valle.
Oh, I don't need to suck up to him to do that. And just, you know.
Man.
And then, obviously, Stephen Yang was really great. So those are my top two.
I had a couple other honorable mentions in there. I thought Angelo Sosa from Death by Tequila, when we unveiled the cover to him and he like cried at the Hilton. Mm-hmm. That one was like super moving. And then Brandon, the owner of The Friendly, never did I think we'd have a podcast where the guy ended saying, I was high as shit through this whole thing.
Yeah, that was really funny.
But
he was funny. Good.
He was really funny.
I also enjoy all the seafood ones. So the Tommy Gomes episode. Didn't we have another? We had Pete Halme. Was that this year or last year?
This year at Epic? No, who is the urchin?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I love all the seafood ones, all the waterfront seafoody kind of ones. I just find them fascinating.
Speaking of that, last episode we talked about most sad closings of the year.
Oh.
Land and Water up in Carlsbad.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
You know, I mean, Rob Ruiz has become one of the foremost sustainable seafood experts in the country. I don't know. I got to check in with him. I don't know exactly what he's doing right now. But I mean, he really put his heart and soul into that in Carlsbad, and it really rejuvenated the scene up there too. And that closed. R.I.P.
Yes. We'd love to know what your favorite podcast episodes were this year, who your favorite guests were, and then who you think we need to have as a guest on our show in 2020. We are booked out for a couple of months, but we've got always have room, and we want to have on the people that you guys want to hear from. So call us 619-744-0535 or email us happyhalfhour@sdmag.com.
We'd like to know where your favorite place is to get mushrooms as well.
Sorry that this show got weird.
I love it when they get weird, man. I mean, that was just the best. We're all looking down at some New York Times editorialist who was over their job at that particular moment. Was like, you know what? Tomatoes.
Amazing.
I just got the giggles.
I love you all. Happy holidays.
Undo it.
Is that it?
That's it. I
unless
think we're
we
good.
Want to do two people, $50.
I thought we were going to do holiday stuff from our survival guide.
All right.
Man, this is going to be a lot of
rewind.
Okay, all right.
There is a holiday survival guide that we worked very hard on. This is the San Diego Magazine staff. It's a great story. It's out in your print editions of San Diego Magazine. I missed my whole San Diego Magazine thing too, but really, if you subscribe to the magazine, that's what helps support the show. So please do so, sdmag.com/subscribe.
Maybe we just say what our favorite things to do during the holidays are that are San Diegan.
Yeah, for sure. What's yours to do? What's yours, Wing? Why don't you start?
Oh, I love going to Miracle on 30th, Polite Provisions Christmas pop-up bar, and drinking all of their cocktails and just like reveling in all the lights and the magic and the trees and the kitschy decor. It's my fave. And there's alcohol.
I can recommend anything in Ocean Beach. I just think the way they decorate for the holidays is super cute. Just walking around, lots of cute places to take photos. There's the Christmas tree at the end. This show will air after the OB Holiday Parade, which is a great thing, but it's already happened. Mm-hmm. I also love the San Diego Symphony does a really neat 1-hour shortened version of like a holiday celebration. And the whole symphony orchestra comes out. They play holiday songs. They have a special one for families where your 2-year-old can freak out in the middle of it and no one looks at you weird. It's a really fun sort of just compact little way to do something fun and fancy for the holidays. We always do it. It's one of my faves. And then we always go up to the top of the Hyatt for like a fancy sort of snack afterwards. And then I love Balboa Park in the holidays.
One of my favorite things used to be, and I haven't done it in a long time, so talking from a past life, does the Caswell still do a John Waters Christmas?
They do indeed.
Okay. John Waters Christmas is basically like John Waters put out a Christmas album. It's one of my favorite Christmas albums. It's a bunch of weird esoteric, you know, like kind of like 60s soul kind of things. Mm-hmm. If you can check that out, it's a campy, cool Christmas album. And the Casbah does, our punk club does kind of like a rendition of that. That's one of mine. And then OB, if you're going to be in OB, because I live in OB, OB is one of the coolest like beach towns. To see Christmas on the beach, it is one of the best.
It's just neat.
And Michael Soriano, who's one of the best designers in town, did Vin de Sera. He did
Dunedin.
Dunedin, exactly. And then he also did the
Realm of the 52 Remedies.
Realm 52 Remedies.
Still not the one.
I know. I'm trying to find it. It was an old motel, the Pearl.
Oh, the Pearl.
He did the Pearl.
Did he?
As well, yeah. That was one of his projects. He is part of the team that's behind Raglan Public House. And I just saw him in there the other day with like 400 bags of toys and decorating the place. So he's one of the best designers in town. Mm. He decorates Raglan, so go in there and check it out. It's weird.
And get the meat pie, mm-hmm. if you're a meat person.
And that actually, that's the fish and chips there. The fish and chips are some of my favorite in San Diego. And it's really, really good and big.
So my choices actually are to the left and right of Lauren's choice of Polite Provisions. And so this is now, I think, on for the third year where basically it's fall brewing versus beer fish on to see who can get the most extravagant with their real like cheesy lighting up type thing. So if you go by either of them right now, every one of them has basically like 15 foot tall blow up Santa Clauses and snowmen, and the insides are completely decked out. But so every year they're like trying to one up each other.
Amazing.
So go there, enjoy some quality beers, and go enjoy some quality fish over at Beer Fish. That's one. And then there's this awesome holiday food drive that's put on by the Indie Beer Show, which is my old podcast that I did. And they raise all these different foods for families for Christmas. Last year, I think they got over 45,000 pounds of food just by putting out barrels at different breweries through San Diego. And then it's all collected down at Society Brewing. And then basically there's an award for which brewery brings in the most food. So very cool way to give back to your those in need during the holiday time, and have a couple good pints while you're at it.
Awesome,
lovely.
Yeah, be good to your people out there. Spend time with your family. Put the phone down, and you can put the podcast down. Just don't put this one down. Okay, that's it.
But you can keep scrolling Insta. That's
yeah,
fine. No need to log off completely.
We just keep on excluding things. We're like, and actually, you know what? Keep on reading SandyGoMagazine.com. And
yeah, we're media, so.
Yeah, so turn off media for
a minute. We'll link to a laugh track on this one.
Yes. Happy holidays, guys. We will be taking a break. Should we be saying that? We'll take a break for a week or two over the holidays, and then we'll be back in 2020 with all kinds of great shows. Mm-hmm. And I'm serious when I mean I want to hear from you guys who you want to have on the show, because we want to have who you want.
And I love the fact that you said that we were booked out for a couple months for guests, and Marie Tutko looked at you and was like...
Aren't we?
I don't even know when the next tape is.
Mushrooms.
God.
See you, everyone. Happy New Year.
God, I just get like that. Once I get the giggles, I can't stop. I just can't. I can like feel it in me, and I'm like, it's gonna take an hour to get out. It's just
Oh yeah. Terrible.